further ado, I'd like to welcome Ian Lungle back from his tour of Canada with 70 lectures across the Canadian nation. And he's back in Sedona for his second evening presentation here. And he's got some brilliant information to share with you. So I hope you brought paper, or at least a recording device, or your ears. So lend him your ears, and let's give him a warm welcome.
The first thing I want to find out is how many people have already seen one of my presentations? Okay, about half the room. How many people have studied something about the Mayan calendar already? There is half. Okay. So, what we're going to be doing tonight is, I've been doing the same talk, you see, the same basic information of discoveries for the last 3.5 years. Tonight is a time to change that. I'm going to go into talking about not so much of history, but what is currently going on right now and what is going to be coming in the future according to the Mayan calendar. For those people who haven't seen all the basics, we're going to be going through this very, very quickly. And you can get that information from my website or from one of the DVDs or VHS tapes that are out there. But for tonight, we're just going to rip into what I think is more important to everybody. That is, what do we do now? Not what did they do back then. Okay? The whole reason that I got involved in this some years ago was through jewelry. I'm not an archaeologist or any kind of scholar. I'm a jeweler. But I started doing Mayan symbols with my own hands. And those symbols have meanings, very strong meanings, that started to impart themselves onto me. I thought this was very interesting. I looked further into their culture because of that and found out they had a calendar. Some years after I found out about the calendar, about a year and a half, I actually came up with a formula to convert the Gregorian calendar to the Mayan calendar, and that's what's in here. When this information was published, it went to, eventually made it to Sweden, where Dr. Carl Coleman saw what I had done, and he had been doing his own researches on the Mayan calendar for 7 years. He had been researching facts that could be proven about the Mayan calendar. What he discovered was that there is a basic structure to the calendar. It's actually written in stone in a place called Koba. And what is written in stone is different periods of, or epochs of time. And what Coleman did is he took all that we have found out about our science, from our sciences, of what happened when, and laid it over this pattern. And voila, what showed up is this general movement of evolution of consciousness, which we're going to just go cursory through this basic information, then we're going to go on to fresh stuff. There are 9 levels to the Mayan calendar. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Where we are right now is in this 8th level. As a matter of fact, we're in the very middle of this 8th level. Each of these sections, or different levels of evolution of consciousness, are divided into equal sections of 13 periods of time. This very first section was 16.4 billion years long. That is from the Big Bang forward. And there was a particular kind of consciousness that was being laid down step by step by step by stage, all the way across. And this basic consciousness was action, reaction. All the physical laws. I guess everybody here pretty well understands by now that everything is consciousness, right?
Yeah.
Everything is consciousness. Grass, trees, rocks, this pen. It's all consciousness. And this pen, as a matter of fact, is a very smart pen. It knows exactly what to do. It has a consciousness which registers what to do. Watch. It followed those laws. That's the level of the pen's consciousness. Action, reaction. I mean, we all know that things are conscious. We've proven it to ourselves. By going and washing your car, it runs better, doesn't it?
Or it rains.
But things contain consciousness at different levels. Objects have this consciousness of action-reaction. Is that pretty simple? Okay. The very next picture on this rock in Koba shows a time period 820 million years long. So 820 million years ago, a whole other cycle started at number one and started going through this whole process again. This time, building a different kind of consciousness. The consciousness of stimulus response. There's a difference between stimulus response and action reaction, isn't there? The major difference is that there's more consciousness in stimulus response than there is in action reaction. All these laws were laid down, all these steps and stages were taken until way over here, the very last section here. This is when life showed up, the first living cell. 1.26 billion years ago. And ever since then, it has been going through, now, instead of just action-reaction, we have life, animate, that starts to organize into higher and higher levels of life. We end up eventually, over here the last 63.4 million years, with mammals. Started out with multicellular organisms that grew into plants, and then into mollusks, and fishes, and insects, and birds, and all the way through. By the way, in these books is very detailed information about each one of these steps and stages and how it has all come down on schedule. This is not a random creation. We have free will within it, but we are on a schedule, which is wonderful, as you'll see in a minute. This next stage, 41 million years ago is when it started, and 40 million years ago is when monkeys showed up on this planet. And they were developing a different kind of consciousness, and that is stimulus individual response. Now, down here, life had organized itself into things like nests and swarms and flocks and hives and herds. That's this kind of consciousness, stimulus response. But here, we entered into a whole other kind of consciousness, a familial consciousness. What's the difference between a family and a herd? The recognition of individuals. Now, this is a big difference. Stimulus response, stimulus individual response sounds the same, but it's a huge difference, and you've experienced it. There's times when you felt really good about just being yourself. And then there's other times when you felt like you were part of the herd. Like waiting online at some big sporting event or stuck in traffic. Check your consciousness levels. When you're feeling good about yourself and when you're stuck in traffic, there's a big difference in consciousness. And that whole thing, this whole level, 41 million years of it helped us to develop better ways to interrelate or intercommunicate. We move up to the tribal cycle, which started 2 million years ago. 2 million years ago was when the first Australopithecus showed up, the first tailless ape, which is called Lucy. And this whole level was about a new kind of consciousness called similarities and differences. This whole 2 million years here was the evolution of a tool called your mind. Down here, we had developed the brain. Up here, the brain was enlarged. But here, we went on to develop the mind, the ability to see similarities and differences and make decisions about things rather than just reacting. This is another huge step forward for all of consciousness. 102,000 years ago, we're still living in the caves. But we began here, right here. This is when we started speaking to one another. Right at the very beginning of that cycle. And this whole cycle was developing a new consciousness called reasons. The reasons for things. Here we're able to make decisions, but here we started coming up with reasons. The first people to do that ended up being called shamans, or the leaders of the tribe, or the people gathered in the caves. They had all of the myths and all the establishments of religion, all came from this process right through here. All the reasons for living. In fact, a culture is a group of people who share reasons. They share the same reasons for things. All of cosmology is a list of reasons of creation. All of theosophy is the same thing.
Sure.
So the basis of culture is shared reasons. 8,000 years ago, by the way, we came up with agriculture. And mankind more or less settled down from a very nomadic life before that. 3115 BC, we started what's called the national cycle. This is also called the Great Cycle by the Maya. And this period right here is when we learned how to write. That's right in here. Well, actually, it was 3110 that we learned to write. So all of this down here is her story, and everything up here is his story. And that's very important. This is all nurturing and support. This has all been production. More and more rapid evolution. This whole line across here, this last 5,000 years, there's been a new kind of consciousness which has been evolved. And that consciousness is called law. And boy, do we know there's an evolution going on. Because the consciousness of law has certainly gone past reason, hasn't it? It really has. Just one little simple example. There are 16 million laws on the books. And you are personally responsible for knowing every single one of them. Ignorance is no defense. Unless you happen to be a lawyer. They're absolved from that. It's beyond reason. But there's lots more we can go into, but that's another lecture. Planetary consciousness started 1755 AD, which happens to be the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. And this whole cycle was all about the production and the consolidation of power. Power. For the last 200 some odd years, all of consciousness throughout our whole galaxy has been aimed at power. Have you noticed that there's a lot of power in a few hands? Have you been upset about that? I have. I have been since the 70s, or 60s, 67, 68, right in there, I've been personally very upset that most of the power sat in very few people's hands and the rest of us are just sucking it. Until I came across this information and I went, oh my goodness. This is not my fault. It's not their fault. All of creation is doing it. The WTO is just you know what the WTO is, the World Trade Organization, is only a further manifestation of consciousness to consolidate power, to bring it into focus. And we've been doing that. Now, the people who are up there in the charge of all this, they don't know they're working on behalf of consciousness. They think they want a bigger bank account. But in fact, they are. And when you go through the details of this, through all of our history here, all the horrible things that people have done to one another and back and forth, it all turns out that they were doing things specifically on schedule. Genghis Khan, for instance, his whole adventure was to open the consciousness of East to the West. He put it together. All of that action was just to bring that about. And specifically, right on schedule. galactic consciousness, which started January 5th, 1999. This is the most recent beginning. And this consciousness cycle is all about developing and dispensing the consciousness of ethics. Now, ethics and morals are two different things, so I want to make sure we got that straight. Ethics comes from inside your heart and shine out into the world. It's your own innate ability or consciousness of what's right and wrong. Morals, on the other hand, morals are reasons. There's a moral for why you tell the story, right? That's the reason you told the story. Morals are the rules or regulations that are handed down through cultures on what's appropriate, what's inappropriate in that culture. Completely different than ethics. Morals come from outside and are laid on you like a blanket. Ethics shines from inside you out in the world. A good example of that, or a bad example of that, is that we are, America, is totally morally justified to be over in Iraq doing everything that they're doing. They are morally justified. But they don't have an ethical stick to stand on. There's a big difference between the two. What this whole consciousness cycle is about ethics. That coming forward in each person. Ethics and integrity are the issue of the day, aren't they? I don't mean just in corporations and in nations and in religions, but even in your own lives. I mean your own relationships. It's coming down to integrity and ethics. That's because consciousness, which is everything, is moving in that direction. We see what looks like a whole lot of trouble in the world, don't we? Don't we?
Yes.
Okay, I mean, I know you don't want to look any more than I do at what's going on out there. It looks ugly. But specifically what's going on is a wrestling match between the consciousness of ethics and the consciousness of power. In each one of these levels, the new consciousness coming in has dominated the old consciousness on the fourth day, during and just after the fourth day of every one of these cycles. The new consciousness dominates the old. Where we are right now is the beginning, is right here in the fourth day. We're right at that pivot point. It looks like this. Here is all of the consciousness up to power, sitting right there. And here comes the consciousness of ethics. And it comes like this. And it looms over power, and it gets to the middle point, and it goes, bud, like that. And we have the historical record that it happened again and again and again, every time on the fourth day. Here we are again. The last time we were in the fourth day was 1873 to 1893. And that's when power overcame law. It happened actually in a court decision that corporations were granted all of the rights of individuals. And at the same time, all of you wonderful natural-born individuals were assigned corporate status. That's your name in all capital letters. Oh, you guys are starting to learn a lot more about that, I know. Power overcame law. Corporate rule overcame government by the people, for the people. Not just in this country, but everywhere. Notice, you can't have ethics unless you have some power first. If you're running for your life, ethics is one of the last considerations you're going to have. But when you can at least hold your own ground, then you can start establishing your personal integrity and presenting ethics. Consciousness had to provide the power first before the finer tuning or steering could come into effect, the ethics. And that's what we're in right now. Now, there is another cycle, the last cycle of this Mayan calendar. It's called the Universal Consciousness Cycle. It begins February 10th, 2011. And this whole consciousness cycle is conscious co-creation. Conscious co-creation. That's what this evolution has been all about. It is us rejoining creation as knowing creators. We've had a lapse of our memory for whatever reason or whatever. I think it's been all part of a very elaborate and entertaining game. Myself, one that's taken quite a few million years, if not a billion years, to work our way up and out of the whole problem. This conscious co-creation is why we're here. I mean, it's obvious that we're co-creating this experience, isn't it? I mean, if you weren't here, ma'am, this event wouldn't be happening. It'd be different. So we are co-creating this experience. If I wasn't here, this wouldn't be happening at all. So we're co-creating, and we've been doing that with everyone in every situation all of our lives. Just not as consciously as we could we wished. Sure.
If we're in day four of ethics, how long of a time span is
okay.
that?
Good. Over here on this side, the blue numbers, what that describes is how long one of these days or nights are. There's 7 days to each of these levels of creation and 6 nights. But one of these days on this first level was 1.26 billion years long. Things were moving really slow. But the very next one was only 63.4 million years long. In other words, 20 times shorter. Same amount of change, same amount of evolution, but 20 times faster. In the very next cycle, 20 times faster again, and again, and again, and again. We have an explanation or an example of how this consciousness affects our lives. For instance, we were all born right in around here somewhere in this cycle. Things were changing, one of these days and nights, every 19.7 years. And all of us were born to some very nice people who raised us up as best they could until we got to be 11 to 16, somewhere in there. And we started noticing something about these people who claimed to be our parents. There was something, I mean, no matter how politely you went about this or not, there was something obviously missing in these folks.
Our true relationship became apparent.
Very apparent. Although how we could have evolved from that was a mystery. These guys, your parents, it became a kind of obvious that they were slow. Not quite able to pick up information as quickly as you could and apply it to positive solutions. Well, that difference was called the generation gap. And the generation gap was 20 years long by study. So what we have here is the difference between your viewpoint and your parents' viewpoint is the difference that between this and that. No matter how long it took to change, that's how much change there was in consciousness. Now, the same amount of change that was happening every 20 years is happening every 360 days.
Ooh.
Does it look to you like time is speeding up?
Uh-huh.
Okay, now we know for sure it's not. Creation is speeding up. There's more happening in less time. And that's been the pattern for 16 billion years now. More and more and more is happening in every moment than ever was available before in any civilization, anywhere, everywhere. When more is possible to happen in every moment, there's more possible outcomes, which opens the door to things called miracles. Things that weren't possible to happen that quickly are now possible, like cell phones, for instance. You want to call France? You can do it on the corner. That was completely impossible. Even here, 1999, that was not impossible. So we're going to see more and more acceleration, more and more coming to be possible, more and more opportunities, and that's mostly what we're going to be talking about tonight. That and this ethics and integrity. We have certain tools in our possession. You don't have to buy anything. You don't have to study anything. You don't have to meditate. You don't have to do nothing except just participate consciously in more possibility. That's all we need to do. So, I could run through this just a little bit, but I think I'm not going to do that tonight. The developments that happened. The fifth day and the fifth night are big events in each one of these cycles. We're coming up on another fifth day right out here. Maybe we'll talk about it toward the end.
I was going to say, could you just pick a couple that were the most prominent?
I'll pick some why not? Here we go. During the fifth day. The fifth day is when things really get going in any one of these cycles. The first one was the development of our solar system. The second one was when life moved out of the water, or developed down in the water, onto land during the fifth day. During this period of time, color vision occurred. During this time, man discovered fire during that fifth day. In this fifth day, art. In this fifth day, this is when Jesus' message was going out all over the planet. Then here, in the last fifth day, was when we got, this was 1913 to 1932, and this is E equals MC squared, and also Mr. Hubble discovered that we lived in an infinite universe. So we got the blueprint of our reality with the theory of relativity, and we got the idea that we live in an infinite universe where everything is possible. Big opening. Consciousness. Now during the nights, remember there's all kinds of stuff going on, but what happened here was 250 million years of meteor bombardment on the planet. All the leftover junk in the solar system slamming into the planets and moons. The moon still has all the scars. Here in the fifth night, 97% of all life was wiped out in the Perm-Triassic extinction period. Here we don't know exactly what happened. Don't have enough data yet. But here, 680,000 years ago, we had the Ice Age. Good thing we had fire, huh?
Maybe. Fire and ice.
I'm telling you, especially when you get into the detail of this, you're going to see very, very plainly that consciousness has been provided exactly the tools that is needed to go to the next step. So all the kind of worrying and fretting about what might happen really shouldn't be going on. We have the proof. The consciousness has a plan. And we're all part of it. Then the next, this right here, we went from art. 32,000 years ago, Neanderthal went extinct during that fifth night. They just couldn't keep pace. In fact, basically art is imagination. These guys didn't have any. Here, it was Christ's message, very upsetting, so upsetting that 415 years later, Rome fell. And it didn't fall because the swords went dull. Or the spears drooped. It went down because consciousness changed. It's happening again. We're watching it happen again. Consciousness changing. Right over the top of a government. So here, in the ethics period, in the fifth day, what we should be seeing is the neighbors. We should be meeting our galactic neighbors in and about that. Plus all kinds of wonderful technologies. 1873 to 1893, by the way, which was the fourth day of this cycle, was when Nikola Tesla developed free energy. That's when he was doing all his work. Power squashed his researches. But here we are, full circle, back again. So, during this period of time, by November of this year is the end of this fourth day, there will be, to consciousness, there will be an exposure of the fact of free energy. Talk about a change on power. Yeah. We're going to see a big shift. And that's challenging enough in itself. We've got this descending time order here. Right now, things are changing every 360 days. There's a step in evolution. But here, every 20 days, there'll be the same amount of change or shift as there is in a year now. Now, this is presenting a real problem to the mind. Remember, we went along, we developed this mind over this 2 million year period to see the similarities and differences between things. It has a speed limit. 24 thoughts per second. That's as fast as your mind can process anything. 24 frames per second. That's how movies work. Special effects and all that are worked off of that. So as more and more information is piled in on this mind, it can process less and less of it. You understand? This causes stress on the whole system. It's part of our evolution. I mean, it was built right in. If you're not sure about something, your body starts to get tense and stressful, so you would leave that situation and go to some place that's more comfortable. It's very natural. Well, we aren't living so naturally. We've kind of got to where we started to adapt to stress and having big physical problems and mental lapses. And even now there's things like, well, there's the fight and flight syndrome, which is road rage and desk rage and spousal abuse and Columbine High School and terrorism is all the fight or flight syndrome. And then the mind has another plan too. If that doesn't happen or handle it, then the mind just goes unconscious or pretends not to see. And that is what we see a lot around us, don't we? People into all sorts of distractions to keep them unconscious of what's actually going on in their lives. So, the mind is having a problem. And as long as mankind is associated with his mind, or believing what his mind tells him, then he's going to have some problems. On the other hand, there's a whole other system that we came here with, that you're born with. It's called your intuition. It's pretty obvious that everybody's going to go out of their mind pretty soon, because things are just going to keep on accelerating, and what you thought you were going to do 15 minutes ago, you can't do now because blah, blah, blah. The mind's just going to go, boom. Your intuition doesn't have any speed limit. It doesn't have any speed. Your intuition is your own connection to your inner knowing, your own personal knowing, which is part of all that can be known. It's sort of like this. We have, here's you, or your consciousness, and let's not even count your body right now. Let's just say, here's your consciousness, right here. Your consciousness is sort of like this. It's oriented. Your consciousness is always oriented by time and place. Time and place. As a matter of fact, it's happening right now. Some time ago, you heard about this talk. You decided to come to this time and place. and you made all the decisions and all the actions to make that happen. Congratulations and welcome. Here we are, in this moment of time and place. Now, this we call 3D. But 3D is an emanation from up here. We're going to call this fifth dimensional up here, 5D. This little star over here is all potential. It's everything that could possibly happen. Infinity, all that. And from that point, we can call it a point, is this flow, like this. It's this flow of event. And what we do is we receive this fifth dimensional flow comes out, the fifth dimensional potential comes out through the fourth dimension into the third. Got it? Like step down. It comes out of all what could happen through time. It comes into manifestation at this time and place. Have you ever noticed that your intuition is pretty much always right? Have you?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed it's more right than your mind? Remember your second grade teacher, third grade teachers told you when taking a test, always use your first answer. Because the second one's going to be wrong. That second answer came from your mind, people. The first answer came from your intuition. So your intuition is right a whole lot of the time. Why would that be? It's just possible that when you're in your intuition, when you are centered in this time and place, and you're in your intuition, doesn't it feel like you're in on a track, or just like you're in the zone? In fact, there's a name for that. It's like athletes call it the zone. When you're in that zone, it just feels natural and like you just know the right thing to do. You're centered. When you're there, it's just possible that that's the staging for actually creating your future. Well, it would handily explain why your intuition was so right, wouldn't it? If you're creating your next moment, and we're going to look at how that might just be the fact. We see these in consecutive moments, but it's actually all a flow or happening at the same time. This is creation's flow right here. Creation's flow. And what you do with your consciousness, or what can be done with your consciousness, is you can tune to this flow. Have you ever heard of the word entrainment? Entrainment, it's a scientific term for something that scientists can't really explain. It's how mechanical things, and certainly life organisms, go into syncopation together. You put two machines right next to each other, and they will start to operate similarly. Two cuckoo clocks on the wall, or a whole line of them. You can get them all ticking and talking at different times, and in a week, they'll all be ticking and talking at the same time. That's called entrainment. Things getting into alignment. It's a very natural phenomenon. Well, this Mayan calendar was never a calendar. Never. It was always a meter. A meter of what? Creation. This, day by day by day, has been keeping track of the flow, the rate, and the intent of creation. As a simple law, I think it's the one law in the universe. It's one law. And everything else comes from that. What you pay attention to, you become conscious of. You can't break that rule. Once you paid attention to something, now you're conscious of it. Don't think of a pink elephant. That kind of thing. So, the whole purpose of this Mayan calendar for the whole Mayan civilization and us today is to, if you're paying attention day by day to the flow of creation, then what do you become conscious of? The flow of creation. And the flow of creation contains all that can be known, including your intuition. Does that make sense? I mean, if that's too simple, I'm not even sorry. The truth is always simple, isn't it? It's those lies that get really complicated. So, intuition is going to be our lifeline through the coming situations. You're not going to have time to sit down and think your way through all of the circumstances that we're going to be presented with. You're just going to have to just do it. Nike had it right. In fact, I love their, I got to meet their advertising guy. If anybody knows him, I want to know. I want to get, because they got a new advertising slogan now. I don't know if you've seen the new Nike commercial. It says, "You are faster than you think." This guy's been watching my talks, I guess. I don't know. But this is, the whole purpose of the Mayan calendar is to engage your intuition. Now, we've got these right back on the table during the break. We'll have them for sale, too. We sell them for $20. And they're a Mayan calendar that will go through, and you pick the month and day on the Gregorian calendar and the Gregorian year. You add those two numbers together, and you come up with a, through the formula, to what day it is in the Mayan calendar. Today, by the way, is 5-star. 5 is the energy or intention of empowerment and centering. And star is the energy of abundance in all things. Like a star that just gives and gives and gives. That's what today's about. The empowerment of abundance. So that's what today, that's, let's just say this is today, that's what's on the roster, on the menu for today on creation. Tomorrow will be 6 offering. And then it'll go on each with a different meaning. But the whole purpose is to just, like I said, of the calendar, is to entrain your consciousness to allow or open to your intuition. Now there is a way that we address 3D. And that is, from our time and place, we pay attention to what's in front of us, to what's actually there. Your mind has a hard time doing this, because your mind doesn't even exist in the present. It only exists either in the past or the future. You notice that? When you're really into exactly what you're doing, you're not thinking about nothing, are you? You're just doing it. Then, when you're not so into what you're doing, your mind is like off and running. Into the future, into the past, into the what may be, and what could have been, and should have. Ooh. We know too well that. But how you address 3D is by paying attention to the time and place that you're at. Then we develop an intent, an intention. An intention is a focus of your attention. An intention. What is it that you desire in the next moment? This is where you're getting set up. Now, the better attention you're paying, the stronger your intention. Have you ever tried to play Frisbee with somebody who didn't want to play? they were not paying attention to what you wanted to do, were they? So you throw them the Frisbee, and they get it, and they, oh, well, okay. Go pick it up. And then it is, flip it. Well, they didn't have a very strong intention because they didn't really want to pay attention to what was going on right there. It's the same with paying your bills and all kinds of other things. Then, once you got the intention, then we have this one right here, which is really important. Integrity. integrity. We address the physical universe with our own personal integrity. You say you're going to do something, you do it, don't you? That's your integrity. You paid attention, you got an intention, now it's time to use your integrity to bring it about. Without integrity, it doesn't happen. Then we have this down here. Intuition. Your intuition. Knowing the right thing to do at the right time. How many people in this room have been in an automobile accident? Or some sort of an accident that could have taken your life? Okay, how many people saw time slow down? Were you paying attention during those moments? You were doing nothing but paying attention, right? Did you have an intention? Oh, yeah. We're going to make it through this one with all of our parts. Did you have integrity? I don't see any missing parts. And intuition. Now, when you were in that moment, you were solidly in your intuition, weren't you? You knew exactly what to either do or not do to get through that, didn't you?
But it didn't happen with the mind.
It didn't happen with the mind. I mean, after it was all over with, after you survived and everything, all the pieces were picked up, then is when your mind went, what could have happened? That's when the shock set in, when your mind touched you.
Post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Post-traumatic stress. That's right. Right in the moment, you were in your intuition. This is the kind of thing that we're going to be moving further and further into as we evolve consciousness. Because events are going to be happening more and more like that automobile accident. Just all of a sudden, out of nowhere, everything happening quick. And it's going to be your own trust of you knowing what to do that'll get you through it. You stop to think about it, I'm sorry. There's more detail about that later. So, intuition is going to be the key. In fact, I mean, we all kind of know that already. That's what we've been doing all of our... I mean, how many people have been in this for like 20 years or more? Okay. I mean, I bet everybody in here has read a stack of books at least this high. Right? And what were they all about? Every bit of it was about your intuition, wasn't it? This way or that way to get your intuition in gear and keep it there. Well... Now, it's not just a study or just a practice. Now, it's going to have to be applied. We're all creators. But the thing that we want to create most is peace of mind. Isn't it? I mean, I think that's the most useful thing to have, is peace of mind. A stable base that you can then operate from. Calm, knowing, certain, you know, great, peace of mind. Well, at least half of those books were about peace of mind, weren't they? And peace of mind seems to come and go. I kind of boiled it down a little bit on where or why it goes. I thought that was really important to know. And what it came to was, anytime something happened in my life that I didn't intend, my peace of mind could leave. Whether it was something exciting and surprising or something deeply depressing or infuriating, it was those times that I was knocked off and my mind took over. There went the intuition, there went the peace of mind, because something happened that I didn't intend. Like, losing somebody's phone number or my wallet. You know, I didn't intend that. Right? So, how do you build peace of mind, and how do you get it back every time? Well, here, let's look. Peace of mind only happens when you're centered. Yes or no? When you are centered, we're going to put centeredness here. Centeredness is the criteria. You got to be centered to have peace of mind. Good advice, but how do you get centered? Where does that come from? Centeredness comes from certainty. When you're certain about stuff, then you're centered. Has anybody taken dance lessons? Two-step or tango or any of that, cha-cha, any of that? Okay. When you first started taking those lessons, did you have peace of mind?
Hell.
No. Were you centered? No. Not unless it was my right foot over my left. I don't, you know. Centeredness. Certainty? Well, no, there wasn't any. Not until you had recognized the patterns associated with the dance, did you get certainty. And then, some centeredness, balance, and peace of mind out on the dance floor. Same thing happened when you were learning how to tie your shoes. Same thing happened when you were first learning how to drive, or operate a computer, or do math. Every single thing you've ever done has gone through this. When you recognize the patterns, then you became certain, then you were centered, then you could have peace of mind about that. So, the task then is to every time something happens that disturbs your peace of mind, immediately look for the pattern. Wow. Is there a pattern here? I found one right away every time I looked. First of all, if I was upset, I'd say, is there a pattern here? Yeah, I've been upset like this before. I've had this experience before. Maybe over something different, but I've had the same feelings, the same reactions as before. There's a pattern. And right away, immediately, I got more certain. I got certain I was upset. Rather than just being upset, you know the difference? When you're just ranting and raving and screaming and la la la, or you just sit there and you go, wow, I'm upset. Big difference, isn't it? The more you recognize the pattern, the more certainty you get, the more centeredness, the more you can do about the situation. It's, like I said, these are tools we've already got. We don't have to go buy anything. You don't have to read another book. Yeah, we don't have the time to read the books. We got phones to answer. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what's going on in our civilization is that once you recognize the pattern, that's all great. Then we do this. We repeat the pattern. Repeating the pattern is kind of comfortable, you know? It's familiar. We repeat the pattern. And then we repeat the pattern again. Now, this isn't only just done on our part. It's done by our societies. We repeat the pattern and repeat it 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 and... Do you know what happens when you do that? Hypnotism.
This is without recognizing that there's a pattern.
This is, yeah. Like, for instance, when you go drive... I've been driving around Canada and U.S. too. And I've noticed that I could drive into any city and pretty much know within 10, 15 minutes where stuff was. Because they're all set up the same. The zoning laws, you know. Well, all the industry is going to be over here on this side, out of town. All the major shopping is going to be right over in here somewhere. And then when you get to the shopping center, it's a McDonald's and a Wendy's and a Burger King next to a Home Depot, which is next to a Radio Shack, and it's boom, 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 like a pattern, like a formula. You understand how many formulas and patterns we have that we're living in? It's pattern, 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 repeated, repeated, repeated. From when you first started going to school, oh, even before that, with television. Repeated, 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 repeated. More and more and more, which lays in hypnotism. Now, how do you break out of that? How do you break out of a hypnotic state? You do something different. That's how you do it. You make a novel thought or action is how you do it. And you wake right up out of this. Like on vacations. How many people take a vacation? Pretty much everybody. Okay. Did you feel different? Did you feel more alive? You know, like food tasted better? You know? Why was that? Because you were spending more money? No. It's because you were doing something different. Now, the camera's on me, not on anybody else. How many people in this room have driven to their place of work or home, and then as you're sitting there, you realize you don't remember? Driving home or to work. That's hypnotism. Okay? We're going to take just a short break for the tape, and then we'll be right back to this. It's just like 3 minutes, just long enough for him to get that tape. Okay, now, just before the break, we were talking about hypnotism. And this hypnotism is being done on purpose to the whole world population. You understand that the kings of Babylonia very well understood the whole principle of hypnotism. So kings and rulers have had some 5,000 years to practice on how to hypnotize people. And why would they want them to be hypnotized? Because there, when a person is hypnotized, they are being created. Up at the top, see, we're creating. But down here, we're being created. Created as what? Well, created as Christians. Or Catholics. Or Americans. Or Russians. Or Britney Spears wannabes. Or Howard Hughes wannabes. Being created into consumers. Being created into identities that can be then steered. And that's basically what's going on in our civilization. You know, I was up in Canada, and I asked people about vacations. In Canada, people take at least 3 weeks a year vacation.
French, 3 months.
3 months in France, you're right. Other countries. Do you know, well, have you seen the commercial on television? Just recently, there's this corporate, good-looking corporate guy sitting there, and he says, "Thanks, your time is our money. Thanks to you, less than 25% of Americans take vacation. On average, the working stiff takes 6 days a year. Other than that, it's nose to the grindstone doing the same thing over and over and over again. Purposefully hypnotizing people. You know, I've been out there, and the rest of the world has some pretty dismal ideas about you Americans. I say you Americans because I'm not one anymore. Thank goodness. I can show you how to do that, too. But these guys think that you're blithering idiots. They think that Americans are just stupid. We're not stupid. We're hypnotized. That's why we can't see the nose on our face. That's why most of the people that could do something different about it aren't standing up to Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and all that because of the hypnotism.
It's not just Americans.
What's that?
It's not just Americans.
It's not just Americans, but I'm talking to you guys right now. This system is going on everywhere. In nature, this doesn't happen. In nature, you have to handle different stuff happening all the time. Because nature doesn't run on a regular schedule. It doesn't do things in a repetitive manner. Constantly throws you curves. Now, you guys have heard as above, so below, right? Mm-hmm. You believe it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well then, don't you know that also means so below as above? It ain't a one-way street. So there are certain physical principles that we can look at that then translate into higher aspects. Like this, for instance. This is my best attempt at a gyroscope. A gyroscope is a balanced mass around an acknowledged center. Here's a balanced mass, the whole enchilada, around a center. Now, we, each of us, have a center. And that center is your intuition. Do you go with that?
Yes.
Your intuition is your center. Now, the way a gyroscope works is you move it, the faster, as a matter of fact, the faster you move it, the more change you introduce to this balanced mass, the more stable the whole thing gets. This is wonderful. We have a constant acceleration of change as our future. Everything is going to be changing faster and faster and faster. What that means is that as a being, as long as you're centered, you're going to be getting more and more stable. It's already happening. More and more people are learning that their intuition is the tool to use to survive. They're getting more certain about that. Have you heard about the elephants in the Tsunami? Right? All the animals made it out of there. Their intuition brought them along. Did you hear about the stories about in the Midwest? They just had 500 tornadoes this last year. And there were lots and lots of stories of miracle survival. And it was always the bottom line, the same word and the same story was intention, or intuition, or just knowing what to do or what not to do. This is getting more and more public, that intuition is the way through. And as more and more and more changes in your consciousness of 3D, this is all of this is your consciousness over here, of your experience in 3D, the faster and faster it changes, the more and more you're noticing. So the more and more stable or centered you become. Now, that's how it would naturally go. What happens if you do this? Let's take a chunk out of the integrity of this gyroscope. And this, now we're getting a look at what's going on and why it seems so difficult. You take a chunk out of this, and now let's spin it and see what happens. It's going to break this axle right off. Without the integrity, this centering doesn't occur. You know some people who don't believe in their intuition? Don't even think it's there. You know those people very good? Because I'll bet you look into their lives and there's going to be some integrity issues. What happens, see, is as soon as you step out of your own integrity, your mind steps in with all the reasons that you're not in your integrity. All the excuses. And it just keeps coming. 24 per second. When I'm talking about personal integrity, I mean following your heart. That's your integrity. Following your heart. And people have all sorts of reasons for not doing that, don't they? And the people with the most reasons have the less trust in their intuition. Have you seen that? They don't believe it's there, they don't trust it's there. Because the mind has stepped in between them and their intuition. I know people who are working at jobs that know that the job is killing them. And their relationships. And they keep going. Because they have to pay the bills. You see, there is two brands of integrity. There's two brands. There's personal integrity, which is wholeness and forthrightness. And then there's institutional integrity. Institutional integrity, or power integrity, is can you keep a secret? That's their integrity. Can you hold a secret? If you can, you're an honorable man. And if you can't, you're not going to go any higher. That's the way that works. So power has had its own brand of integrity, but it hasn't been a wholeness. There have been secrets. There have been holes in this balanced mass. And what we're seeing now, as things speed up, as circumstances come faster and faster, we're seeing corporations, religions, relationships of all kinds flying apart for the lack of integrity. That's what's coming forward. That's what like we said before, integrity and ethics is the issue. And it's going to become more and more so from here on forward. Now, there is no thing to do about this. There's no doing here. There's not really any having here either. There is being. And that's where we're headed back. Back to being. And I wanted to show you this next chart here about how we manifest ourselves into new states of being or new states of havingness. And do it. And it's a regular formula that we can follow. I'm going to go through this again and we'll do a little bit more detail to it. Attention. These are the foundations of manifestation in the third dimension. First of all, attention. Showing up. Registering. Witnessing. What's going on? It's not easy to do this. Have you ever sat down in front of somebody, even somebody you like, and just try to pay attention, just look at them in the eyes, and have them just look back at you? I mean, 5 minutes into it, your eyes feel like they're going to burn out of your head. All you want to do is just pay attention. Well, sometimes things hurt. It's hard to pay attention during that. Sometimes things feel really, really good. And people back off from that experience. Blown away. And they stop paying attention. They disconnect. It's like pulling an appliance out of the wall. Boom. It just, you have to be paying attention. And having an intent, an intention of what you will be in the future. This is, your intention is you setting yourself up to be, to exist in a future moment with certain circumstances. Future, here we go. When you're paying close attention to what's actually going on and you have an intention, you're set up for being able to create or manifest your future. It's like this. You're walking through the garden. You're paying attention to the ground and where the steps are and where the holes might be. This way you make it through the garden. If you're not paying attention to where you're walking, you're walking on the plants, which isn't a part of your intention. Do you see? It's just that on your face. Attention first, intention. Integrity. Integrity is the gatekeeper. If you don't have personal integrity, then you're not going to be able to touch or contact your intuition, which is your connection to source. And there, your ability to manifest goes right out the window. Attention, intention, integrity, and intuition. Integrity, this is like I said before, is a fail-safe for being able to manifest what it is that you desire, or what it is that, in, when I say you desire, I'm saying that to this group because we all desire to evolve and help each other evolve. We know that. This whole working, this whole foundations of magics, is not so much for us and what we specifically want, like, you know, two jaguars and yacht or anything like that. This is about manifesting the next steps in our evolution. What is it going to take for us to continue to go higher and higher in our abilities and be more and more responsible? And this takes these steps and stages. It's not only about stuff. Understand? It's about states of being. How do you manifest higher and higher states of being? Paying attention with an intention, in integrity, so that you're connected to source. I mean, we have been doing in order to have. I mean, since you were a little kid, what are you going to do when you grow up, right? It's like, here we are. We've been doing stuff in order to have things. And it's gotten to where now we have to do stuff. You have to do it. Just to keep yourself going. The thing that we've missed out completely, or most of society has, is the being part. Be, do, have. So now we're just working it the other way around. Now we have these tools. You have these tools. You can do the paying of attention, the setting of an intention, working on your integrity, being forthright and honest, and even if it's just admitting mistakes, and then connecting to your intuition. That's what makes it happen. This is going to be played out. Integrity means sustainability. A system that has integrity will last and will go on. A system that doesn't have integrity falls apart and quits. I've had cars like that. I bought them with, you know, they had good integrity. But then I drove them for a while. I didn't pay that much attention to that noise. You know? I intended to fix it sometime or another. But it started. You know, car started. So I drive it to the store. And you keep just doing that. And eventually, wham! It broke. What a surprise. The integrity had deteriorated to where it just wasn't going to do it. And of course, then my intuition was out the window. I was very upset. How could this happen to me? And it was just not following this formula. That's all it was. I did that to relationships too. Didn't pay enough attention? You've seen it happen. So what we're going to be doing this on a faster and faster and faster basis. In other words, it used to be that there was only so much happening in a certain period of time, only so much happening, and there was only so many intentions in a certain period of time. You know, there's so many opportunities or openings, and there's so many intentions. So each one of these is like a coincidence. A coincidence of intent and opportunity. What we're seeing now, though, is that there's this rapid, rapid acceleration here of more intentions and more, it's sort of like sheets for Kale, you know, thread count. So what we have is lots and lots more synchronicities and coincidences. Have you noticed? You send out an intention, and bam, it meets an opportunity right away. So this whole thing is going to be working faster and faster and faster. When you send out an intention, it's going to come like that. It's going to manifest right there, which is part of this stability here. As you see it working quicker and quicker and quicker, you're going to become more and more certain, more and more stable about the fact that you can manifest your own reality, that you already are, and you can get better and better at it. And this is the steering wheel, more or less, for these four little things right here. Are there questions about that? Anybody got any questions about this? Yes?
Yeah, what does being the future?
Being the future. Well, you're being in the present. What we consider the present, although, you know, everything's happening all at the same time. Future, the past, all that, right? Well, out of all the potentiality of what could happen in the next few moments, what's the most likely thing to happen? What you intend. This has been the way it's been your whole entire life. From your first breath, you have intended your next one, haven't you? You know that we breathe 21,600 times a day? So there's 21,600 intentions that showed up in your life every day. Yeah, we're all, nobody looks like they're starving. Everybody has intended to eat a meal a day at least, right? And that showed up. What most shows up in your life is what you intend. And that's true for everybody. Up until, and maybe even including, when you die. So what we're saying is that faster and faster, what you intend is going to show up, and more exactly what you intend. This trend is already going on. I mean, the whole deal of life is picking what you want to pay attention to, right? You pick what you want to pay attention to. Well, 200 years ago, there was a certain amount of things you could pay attention to. Now, there's, I mean, not just natural things to pay attention to, but there's all the media, all the different kinds of media presentations that you can pay attention to. You've got more and more choice of more and more fine-tuned intention of what you're going to pay attention to. And it's going to continue and continue. So we have just a vista of more and more and more possibility. And the only thing that would hold you back from being able to participate fully in the whole of this is your integrity. When your integrity goes out, then you're not paying attention to the present moment. You can't really have an intention from that point, and you're disconnected from source. So ethics and integrity are the absolute key.
Of our presentation by Ian Lungold on the Mayan calendar. Let's welcome Ian back.
It's quite wonderful that you have this center made available to all of us. Thank you very much. During the break, we had a couple of questions, and I was going to have the people ask those questions again on tape. So one of the questions from over here, And what was the question again was?
The question is, where did the Maya people get the information from to begin with?
Okay, where did the Maya people get this information to begin with? Well, we don't precisely know. We have their own legends is all we really know about it. And that in their legends, they say that a person or a god by the name of Itzamna came down to the Mayan people and delivered information about language, writing, mathematics, and the calendar. So they received this information as a gift. Where Itzamna came from and where he went, we don't really know. And frankly, it's none of our business. Where they got it. It's much more important what we do with the information now. They have sacrificed generations to hold this information. While the Catholics and the Jesuits and the corporate powers that be have pummeled the Mayan civilization, while their books and knowledges have been destroyed by the Catholic Church, they held this information as best they could. There are 8 million Maya still living in Central America, a very low percentage of them with any knowledge of their own culture. Very small percentage actually still follow the calendar and follow traditional ways. Yeah, it's been quite a journey for them. But they have held this information and passed it forward to us. We have added to their information with all the science that we now have, and has come more full circle, or we're now receiving back the information, some of it, that the Maya had probably accumulated, but was burned by the Catholics. So, to answer that question. And then there was another question, I believe the question was, how much room did it take on the stone at Koba to present all this information? And there's a huge stone there, the calendar stone is what we call it, and it's in the Grotto of Kings. And the stone stands, oh, probably 12 feet high. It's covered with glyphs. And one side of that 12-foot high monument is a bunch of Mayan writing. And all the writing that's on it, all that's there, is just the periods of time. How long was this period of time? How long was that period of time? How long was this period of time? In other words, the structure, what Coleman had done, is filled in with our scientific knowledge what happened during those stages. And what showed up was that the pattern had certain kinds of things happen on certain kinds of days or nights over and over and over again. The pattern became unmistakably clear. That we are on a schedule. And the schedule is leading, or all this development is leading to conscious co-creation of our very experience, of absolutely everything that we experience. Now, we were talking before the break, we were talking a lot about, in fact, the whole talk about integrity, and I thought it would be important to explain, Lucy, what integrity is. Integrity, simplest put, is following your heart. What do you really wish to do? And what are you not that interested in doing? That's, if you're doing that, you're following, you're being integral to yourself. To thine own self be true is your personal integrity. Now, sometimes you want to do things for other people. You want to do things for other people. Because you see how it's going to eventually help you. Even if it disadvantages you right now, you know it's going to be better. So doing that would be following or participating in your integrity. It's going to be different. What one person's integrity is totally different to another person. If you're not matching up to your own expectations on your integrity, that's where you're really in trouble. Nobody can tell you what is your integrity and what isn't. Only you can do that. So there's an But having that in your consciousness, understanding its the importance of it, makes it a lot easier for you to follow, because you can feel when you're not following it now. The next thing I wanted to talk about is probably, this cube of Kant right here. This is like my own demonstration or example of the current state of consciousness on planet Earth. Sort of like an ice cube. A cube. A mental block of what can't happen. There are certain things that just can't happen in this world. Things like seeing other dimensions. That can't happen. It's unreal. Doesn't exist. To this block, some 90% of the world's population believes that there's a lot that can't happen. These people are in here, like molecules of water, all frozen. Like this, they go. Like that. And they feel pretty good, because they feel safe anyway, because they know that this guy can't move neither. And that's the way they want it. They want no motion, no change. In fact, if there's any change, let's go back to the 50s or 60s, right? No motion, no change. In other words, no evolution. Then there's people like us. And here we are, way out here on the edge. You freaks. You fringies. We're way out here, see, and we can detect that there's more possible. That things are possible. That in here, telepathy isn't possible. Telekinesis isn't possible. Being in two places at once is not possible. Bilocating, that's not possible. None of that's possible in here. Meanwhile, in creation, more and more and more is becoming possible. We've now teleported light. You know that? We've actually teleported electrons.
What?
Electrons. In fact, last year in Denmark, they were teleporting whole atoms with the push of a button. Boom, boom. So teleportation is all of a sudden happening. Telepathy, well, we've all experienced it, haven't we? And more of it. It's just getting to be more and more a way of our consciousness operating in our intuition. So there's like this action that's happening here. This frozen block is going to get transformed. And the way you transform a frozen block, a stuckness, is with heat. You put some heat on this, and what's going to happen is that consciousness is going to start changing. Like this. It'll get a little drippy. Eventually, you end up with a whole other state of being called water. And I don't know about you, but my reality recently has been in flux. Sort of like water. It hasn't been so firm and fixed as it used to be. As a matter of fact, I've been doing these talks for 3.5 years now. And something I've noticed just recently, as a matter of fact, noticed since June 8th of 2004, is that for years I was talking to groups that were 80% women. 80%. I didn't mind. But since June 8th, the percentage of men has skyrocketed to 50% or more. Check it out. What happened on June 8th? the Venus transit for a little while there. It opened a portal. It shifted consciousness, and I've been able to see it manifest. There's been at least an extra 30% men showed up in all my talks since then. Consciousness is definitely shifting. But we want to get this melted. We want to get it changed. We've got to come up with some heat. Well, heat comes from force. We've got to find a force. Let's see. Where have we got a force? How about 16.4 billion years of constantly accelerating change? There's a force. Okay? So we got a force. Heat comes from force against resistance. Check it out. Heat. Force against resistance builds heat. In other words, guys, we should be extremely happy for all the people putting up resistance to this evolution. Because they are providing the heat to change or shift our consciousness. We have every reason to celebrate Bush and Cheney and everything they're doing. They are creating this heat that is melting this and creating. This is, I'm going to pick on the guys again, but look it. Guys, haven't you been having emotions that you just aren't supposed to have in the past? I mean, if you're going to be a guy, you're not going to have these until just recently, as more and more of this transition happens. Now, we're not anywhere near the end of the Mayan calendar here. We're just in the middle of this last this last cycle. So there's still more force to come, isn't there? More of that force is going to play out. And there is going to be more resistance. This resistance isn't going to come from the outside world. Right now, what we're doing here in this particular, in this whole beginning of this, is the acceleration is happening. There's all this resistance in the physical world or in people's minds and their political aspirations and economic ideas of who they are. There's all this resistance. But we're coming up here. We're here on the fourth day now. And we're headed for this fifth night. The fifth night, as we talked about earlier, there's lots of bad things that happen. But in general, it got to be more and more specific bad things, not less general bad. Like 250 million years of meteor bombardment throughout the whole solar system is pretty general. Then we get up here, the Ice Age, well, that was only certain continents, you know. And then we get up here, Rome fell. Oh, well, boom, one area of the planet. Then here, World War II happened. Well, World War II being is bad, but it sure isn't 250 million years of meteor bombardment. In other words, this whole creation thing has been getting more and more controlled or structured. Sort of like when you were learning how to ride a bike. At first, you didn't have any experience and no momentum. And so, boom, boom, boom. Later, as you got more experience and more momentum, you had better control. And so consciousness is getting better and better, more defined and more defined, less, more specific kinds of change, even for bad stuff, and less general. So we've got a fifth night coming up. Well, what's that fifth night going to be about? This, right here. We need, or we're going to have, more heat. Because this force is going to keep on coming, and there's this resistance which comes from ourselves. This resistance is the resistance to the knowledge that we are God. That resistance is going to cause all kind of heat here. What happens when you heat water? Does that look like ascension to you? You understand that a block of ice cannot pass through things that water can pass through. And steam can pass through where water would never dream of going. So as far as understanding or ability to interact with the universe, the more and more refined the particles are of our consciousness, the more and more we can permeate understanding. So it's very, very much like this, again, as above, so below. It's very much like physical characteristics. Our consciousness is following the same path. This happens very, very specific thing that happens during this coming up, fifth night. Not a world destruction. We're over that. We're past that. You understand? We're past that part. Consciousness is not going to tear up the planet when it's got conscious co-creation in mind. We've already went through all of this stuff down here. And you can see how it's getting less and less and less and less. Yeah, there might be some earth changes. There may be a flush of a few million people. But it's not the end of everything. And it's only the beginning of something far, far greater. Now, that's what's on track. I mean, the systems that we have, the systems are like this, right here. That's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be, and it's, you know, you're in debt, you will go to work, you will pay your bills. That's changing. First of all, you're not in debt. It doesn't exist. It's manufactured. Just like automobiles or toothbrushes. Debt was built, was engineered. You want to know how real debt is? There's a biomass on this planet. That is all the living breathing. That's leaves and grass and insects and bugs and all that, right? And then there's us. And we are 0.001% of all that biomass. So how real is debt? I don't know. Let's go ask a bear. How much do you owe? Or a whale. How much do you owe? It just doesn't exist. Go ask some indigenous person. How much do you owe? Owe to who? Well, didn't somebody bring you a rabbit last night for your pot? Well, yeah. They do that every week or so. But then we deliver snake meat to them. Well, whenever we have extra of this, we take it over to them. There's no debt there in those societies. We've been the ones, yeah.
May come naive, but I don't see bears and whales and insects buying products and having to pay rent and, you know, cars, etc. Mm-hmm. So I'm having a hard time not seeing how that might have incurred some debt, our me base, so-called me base.
Okay. Whales have to work to live. They have to actually swim and catch plankton and stuff.
I thought they were just having a whale of a good time.
Sure they are. But they have to actually expend energy to produce a product for themselves to live on. That's no different than what we're doing. We're just doing a more variety of products, of activities. None of that actually is about debt. All those products are created from natural resources that were there. Right? They were already there. They were provided. So, the whole idea of commerce, of having to buy something, in itself, is manufactured. It's been built over the last 4,000 years, this system. merchant law, then contract law, common law, British law, which is our law. And come to find out, the system was built specifically to fail over and over again. And then one big final failure. And when you look at the schedule, you can actually see it. All through this whole period, right here, this whole the system periodically, every 20 years, collapses. And it's in the book, by the way. The connection between the economy and consciousness is like this. Every one of the nights, the economy turns down. During the days, it goes up. It's fantastic. Yes?
When is the fifth night?
The third night?
No, when is the fifth night?
Oh, the fifth night. That is in 2008. Yeah. 2006 is, or excuse me, 2005 is the fourth day, pretty much, until November. 2006 is the fourth night. This is when free energy will probably come online. This is, during the nights is when you get applied what you learned during the days. Then we go into the fifth day, which is a wide open, expansive time period. That is 2007, and then 2008 will be the fifth night.
Ian, when do you think the banking system is going to collapse?
Right around April 12th.
2006?
No, this year.
Well, I thought you said March.
No, what's happening in March, I did say March, what's happening in March is there is a meeting in Europe.
That gives me a whole 30 days
more. Yeah. Well, you'll see this coming, and it's not going to happen all at once. You know, people ask me when is it going to come down? It's coming down now, people. Now, have you ever seen a glacier? Like the glacier faces are falling off into the water. You ever seen pictures of that, movies and stuff? Mm-hmm. And it looks like it's in slow motion, doesn't it? It's not. That was real time photo. The reason it looks so slow is because it's so big. Yeah. Well, think about it. How big is the world economy? It is coming down now. We're watching it.
So what do you suggest we do to prepare, if
anything? Get into your intuition.
Besides that.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about that more, too.
Okay. Buy gold.
I don't know. I was saying that earlier myself. Buy gold and that. I don't think so. I don't think so.
What about credit card debt?
Credit card debt, that number one doesn't exist.
So go out and charge.
You know, first of all, you know, these credit card guys, right? Where'd they get all the money? There is no money. There's no money. There's a specific reason why there's no money, which we could go into another talk, but there's no money. So, never got anything from these people. Everything's already paid for. There's no debt. They just put themselves in the middle as a middleman and just prop themselves up with laws and guns to force people to pay things. It's just not true. I'm not going to give you all the details because we'd be here for another, you know, hours. But on my webpage, which is mayanmagics.com, you can go and read about this. We have it up online. It's all there. Please avail yourself of the information. It's what you know that gets you through. Now, as far as what to do to prepare, start allowing everything. Allow everything to happen. Bad, good, indifferent, allow it to happen. Don't be part of this resistance. We don't need to resist anything. There's plenty of people volunteered to do that for us. We don't need to resist anything. Our whole task is to allow more to become possible, to allow anything to happen. When you've done that, when you're allowing that, then you can then, well, actually, right here, oops, back one more. This back here, this point right here is very allowing. That's where you're most allowing. Letting it happen. Just, you're not trying to force anything to happen. You're witnessing it and allowing it to occur. That's when you're in your intuition. And that's what our task is to allow things that are mind, things that are bad, to happen for the better of all. This is going to be quite a test. And especially watching other people go through this. Because you can handle yourself, okay, but watching other people freak out is really a drag, isn't it? And even being too near them can be really a drag. So that's why we come out with this information, especially the first tape that established the fact that this acceleration is going on. We sell the videotapes for $25, but we sell them with a very special copyright, and that is, copy it right and give it away to every person who you think would watch it. It's the only way we can get this out there fast enough. So please avail yourself of that if you can. And we've got a lot to allow. There's not so much to do. There's hardly any time to do it anyway. It's let this process run out. Now, if you know how to grow carrots, get to it. Because when the system comes down, it's hard to tell what's exactly going to happen. Because we got this going on. We got the system coming down and consciousness going up. You know? So as things go to pieces, other solutions are going to appear. You heard of community dollars? You heard of that? An economic system where you donate part of your day to the community and it gets chalked up on an account. And doctors make the same as cooks or housekeepers. It's all by the hour. It's not structured by this person's time is worth more than that person's time. Those systems already exist, and they're quite workable. And something like that would be what takes the place of what we've got going on now. Community dollars. Or community hours. There are whole companies selling right now. They're selling or providing programs for cities to set this up so that everybody's got an account. So the economy is going to change quite a bit. Yes?
Talk about the Eight Divisions guy, please, Quebec.
Oh, the definition of this, by the way, this symbol is a Mayan symbol. Actually, they had two different orientations of their consciousness. We just have this, we have time and place, but they had two other orientations to their consciousness. One was their personal intent, why they were here on Earth. I mean, that comes from your birthday. That's right here. The day you were born sets the intent for your lifetime. And then here is just the divine plan or the whole idea that there is a pattern. And when you actually draw this, it goes like this, forms an eight-sided or eight-pointed figure called the eight-division sky place. You ever seen that symbol? I mean, in Tibet they have that symbol, and in Egypt they have that symbol. It's this, in the Greek they had this symbol. Eight-division sky place. This is heaven. That's the word or the idea of heaven in the Maya. This is the symbol for heaven. And you've been there. You've been there because there's times in your life when you knew you were doing exactly what you intended to do, and you felt connected to something far, far greater than yourself. And it felt great, didn't it? Heavenly, as a matter of fact. That's where we're all headed. The whole evolution of consciousness is headed to this state of being. And what we can offer right now is a way to get in alignment with that. and is just keeping track of what creation's doing every day. Does that answer that question? About heaven? About that? So, we've got this transformation going on. We've got an opportunity coming up here in the fifth night to resolve all the limitations that we have set upon ourselves or that the mind has been convinced that exist. And we're going to blow right through that. With lots and lots of help on the way. Nobody's expected to become enlightened this evening. No, nobody. This is a process. You know, you don't get to be 55 a day after you were 15. It just doesn't happen. So we're going to be unfolding this whole way. And this is kind of how we're going to do it. There's nothing that you have to do about this. Nothing that you have to do about what's already being in your consciousness. And that is a level or order of your emotional state. This already exists. It goes from, this is ecstasy. Ecstasy, enthusiasm, interest, conservatism, boredom, antagonism, pain, anger, covert hostility, sarcasm, fear, sympathy, grief, propitiation, please don't hurt me, apathy, and death. That's the order that our emotions go up and down. Sometimes it happens really fast. Sometimes people get stuck in one or another. But what is really basic about this is that in each of these levels, there's more and more personal choice of what you're going to do about your current situation. The higher your emotional state, the more choices are open to you. The lower your emotional state, the less choices of what you're going to do or how you're going to be. Does that make sense? Does that fit your reality? In enthusiasm, man, you can't even count all the choices that you'd have or what you could do. In interest, well, it's a little bit more focused. You know, you've got lots of choices, though. In conservatism, you're doing just great. The only choice you don't have is to be interested. Because if you get interested, then you're not in conservatism anymore. But you go on down, boredom, antagonism, pain. Now here, you've got less choice here of what you're going to do and how you're going to be. Because you've got that emotion going on. In anger, there's even less choice. I mean, by the time we get down here to propitiation, please don't hurt me, you don't have much choice left of what you're going to do. It's what you're being made to do, according to your emotional state. In apathy, there's only a couple of choices you got here, to care or not, or to die or not. You have two choices. And at death, you've only got one choice, to stay dead or not. And you know what? There's one famous guy, at least one, this guy JC, who supposedly made that choice not to stay dead. At least he showed us there's a choice. But you know what? As we've come forward, as more and more choices become available, in general, everywhere, then you've got more and more choices about each one of these emotions, or from that position. Who in here knows somebody who died and was brought back medically? Hey, there's another choice down here, ain't there? There's more opportunity. It's not just once you stop breathing, that's it. Now there's more opportunity. The same thing with all of these. And I'm going to go into, and we're going to have a little break, but I'm going to go into how we apply this to choosing more and more exactly our own emotional state. Right after our short break. Okay, we're back. And what we were talking about last is the emotional tone scale or emotional vibratory scale and the order in which emotions go up and down. And the fact that you, in higher emotions you have more choice, and in lower emotions you have less choice. Well, the whole idea is to get more and more and more choice of our own actions. As a matter of fact, the word evolution, I have a definition, special definition for the word evolution, and that is more choices of how to go about surviving. If you're just one single cell, and you don't even have any cilia to move, you don't have many choices of how you're going to go about things. But you end up with something like us, with trillions of cells, some of them very specifically dedicated, we have lots more choices. We're higher evolved. There's more ways for us to survive. And it's just been it's been a wonderful process. But what's happening now, for the first time in our human experience, is that we're getting more and more choice available. In fact, so much that we can start to choose the emotion we're in. This is key, absolutely key. You ever heard of the Hatfields and McCoys? Now, these people, for generations, had the same hate. Didn't change, right? I mean, it's an American story, which goes all the way back in history. People had a hard time changing their outlook or their emotional state about things. How many people in here have been angry one moment and laughing at yourself the next? Okay, how long did it take for you to change emotions? Zero. Okay? Even your mind caught on to the fact 24th of a second later. You can instantly change your emotion. Now, obviously, you had some data available, and then you got new data, and you made a choice, didn't you? You made a choice to stay angry about some misinformation or accept this new information. Hallelujah. You're happy. You made a choice, and that choice happened, bam, right then. There is an escape door out of your mind. Make a choice. That's the door. See, your mind's only got one occupation, providing you with alternatives. This or that, or that or this. And if you do this, then this or that of that can happen. That's what it does. It makes it presents all these different options. Your job is to make a choice. When you make a choice, the mind is out of a job. For a little while. So like this morning at breakfast, what am I going to have? Well, I don't know. I'm still thinking about it. But then I made a choice. Once I made a choice, then I was just no more thinking about it. It was just on to new business, and when the eggs came, I ate them. When you make a choice, your mind is unplugged. Until it starts making considerations about what you chose. Now, the trick is to choose for your mind to make those considerations. Have you ever sat and just watched your thoughts? And they drift by, and they drift this way? Whatever happened, what happened when you did that? When you just watched what was, when you paid attention to your mind, I'll bet you had a better opportunity to just choose. Oops, I lost my page. But you have, when you are paying attention to the situation in your mind, then you have more option to choose. You can choose to be in that emotion. When you choose to be in that emotion, you're automatically not in it anymore. It's sort of like being in the outhouse. If you can't see the outhouse, it's because you're in it. But if you can see the outhouse, you know you're not in it. If you've ever seen yourself as angry, and you go, I'm so angry. Well, could you stay angry? Very easy after that? Probably not. Once you acknowledge the fact that you were angry, you weren't so angry anymore. You were now in pain. I'm so angry, Susie didn't show up. That hurt me. And as soon as you say, that hurt me, you get antagonistic about it. I just won't call her for the next 2 months. That's what I'll do. And as soon as you state that, it's boring as hell. And that's the way it works. As soon as you choose, notice and choose your emotional state, you're automatically popped up to the next one. This is actually a tool you can use with other people. It's great in counseling. It really is. It's just it's magic. But it takes training to work with other people with this, because you can never evaluate for somebody else what emotion they're in. Can't do that. Because it throws them down. Well, you come into somebody who's all enthusiastic, and you say, well, you're pretty enthusiastic, aren't you? And this person's probably going to get antagonistic back at you. What do you mean I'm enthusiastic? What's wrong with that? Okay, it brings them, boom, down. You don't want to do that kind of thing. But you can sure work with this information without any training on yourself. And the main thing is, choose to be in the emotion you're in. If you're in grief, if you're losing something, choose to be in that emotion. And what will happen is you'll start feeling sorry for yourself. Or those people around that you can see lost. And then you'll be, once you get and acknowledge the sympathy, then automatically you're afraid of what might happen next. It's magic, people. It really, really works. Just that way, and every time. And as we go forward, there's 20 shifts, or 20 more choices, for every 13 stages that we go through. That means for every shift, you get 1.3 more changes available in every kind of way. 1.3 new changes or new opportunities show up in everything, including your ability to choose your own emotion. Whereas before, people were not so able to face up to the fact that they were angry or painful or antagonistic. Now it's much more easy to do that. Mm-hmm. Things are changing faster and faster and faster. You don't have to stay in that one emotion. You can have volition of what emotion you're going to be in. I'd say that this is, if there's any redemption or salvation, is this. There's nothing outside of you that's doing it. It's you're going to have more and more option about all of your experience, including which emotion you're going to be in. That is, as long as you're paying attention. With an intention. And your integrity tied into your intuition. In my first talk, I have this reversed, where there's, in the past, there was very few things happening at once, and then in the present, there's even more stuff happening at once. Now, in the future, there's going to be even more, and then even more possible in every moment. More opportunities, more different points of view that you can assume. That's exactly what's going on here. So people who are stuck in death or apathy or grief, as we go forward with this, have more and more opportunity to rise toward enthusiasm, toward ecstasy, which is this ascension. And there's nothing strange about it or nothing that you have to study about it.
No leaders to follow. Nothing. Just taking advantage of more and more opportunity. In every kind of way. That's the path that we're on. Are there any questions? Yes.
The Mayans knew something about after death.
After death?
Yeah, what happened after death?
Yes, they did. They have a cosmology that covers after death. Actually, they have a time flow pattern where there is a star, the Orion's Belt. Orion's Belt is in line between the center of our galaxy, Earth, and Orion's Belt, out. And the Mayan cosmology says that the spirit enters from outside the galaxy, from Orion's Belt, comes in through Earth as a stopping point, and then when a person passes on, he goes on into the center of the galaxy, the black hole, and is regurgitated. That's been the life cycle. This whole evolution is leading past and out of that life cycle. None of us in this room have to die. Ever. We don't have to die. Medical technology right now has brought us up to where the life cycle, the life span of a man was about 45 years old, or about there, what, 45. Now it's up to 75 to 80. We've almost doubled our lifespan. In the last few years. And that means that we've got twice as many choices to make in a lifetime, doesn't it? More opportunity. But as we go forward here, when we get over into here, like the fourth day right here, fourth night, we get free energy. Fifth day is the biggest blowout of consciousness in every one of these. So things like telepathy, levitation, free energy, all of that will be readily available to all of us. Genetic therapy is racing away. I mean, they're now doing gene therapy, and they're wondering how they're going to control the Olympic athletes. Because now Olympic athletes can take gene therapy to grow bigger muscles, and there's no way to test it. No way. And it's all done through gene therapy. So, how old do you want to be? Yeah. 33 to 35. That's when it was.
Trick of stopping it there.
Or just going back to it. You know, there's also time travel that's coming right up. We've already time traveled electrons. They've stopped light. Now, when you stop light, it increases the mass of the particle, which actually bends space-time. And they've actually teleported electrons now. So we know it's possible. We don't know what happened to the electron, but we know we've done good. Once time travel shows up, what day is it really? You know? I mean, the mind is going to have a hard time with this stuff. It really will. Your intuition will be fine. The mind's going to get tweaked. We have just so much change and opportunity in front of us that we've got to wear shades. The future is so bright. And don't let anything, I mean, obviously, don't let anything, any worries about what might happen get in your way. All that's addressing your mind. You see, your mind evolved for one purpose, really. That is to look for danger. That's what its job was. Look for danger. Anything dangerous, we got to know what it is and all about it. And once all the danger is passed, then we can get down to food and shelter and maybe some sex. But the mind is first looking for danger, which is why bad news sells. Because the mind is looking first for whatever might be dangerous. Yes.
And so then in the fourth day or fourth night, does that mean the end of all economic slavery?
Yes. Yes. It does mean absolute end of economic slavery. You know, a lot of people have lost their jobs, right? But they got to find out something during that. They found out that they weren't their job. A lot of people think that they are their position, that they are their responsibilities, that they are their aspirations, and all of a sudden those aren't there. And that person learned a huge lesson, and they got freed up from being stuck in that one thing. Yes?
And how do you think the shift into ethics is going to affect global diseases such as AIDS that have been created by those in power?
Put it bluntly.
Well, it's coming out, I mean, what's actually coming out about the AIDS thing is that different people are susceptible to different degrees to it. Number one criteria for a person to get AIDS is a person who doesn't think highly of themselves. Irregardless of their activities, what's more the basis of it is how a person feels about themselves. So that is going to be your integrity has everything to do with how you feel about yourself. If you're not in integrity, then you're not going to feel good about yourself. And that opens the door to all sorts of things. Number one on the list of diseases, of course, is AIDS, but it opens the door to everything negative. And I think that this whole process is just an acceleration of it. Does that answer that question?
Yes, so it's like your consciousness is what attracts or repels these kind of things.
We're all creating our own experience. Every single one of us, nothing excluded or no excuses. We're making it all as we go. Sometimes we're creating things we're not conscious that we're creating. To a large degree, people create the circumstances for themselves that they didn't know they did. But what, as this evolution continues, especially as ethics and integrity become the focal point of your consciousness, you will be able to create bad experiences. It just won't happen. You wouldn't do it. Like, we wouldn't have somebody over for dinner and cut them up and cook them. We wouldn't do it. Well, that was a consciousness back here, you know. That was actually acceptable behavior back here, cannibalism. It's just not anymore because of this evolution. And that the whole idea of having power over somebody else is going to be as abhorrent as having them over for dinner and cooking them. Just wouldn't happen. And it's nothing that we have to do to each other or for ourselves, nothing we have to do about this, except be aware of it, pay attention, get your intent together, keep your integrity intact, and ride your intuition. And it doesn't cost anything to do that. And you don't have to follow my words or anybody else's about how it gets done. Yeah.
Okay, so within the process, you said allow everything to happen, good or bad.
Mm.
The thing mm-hmm. about keeping our integrity is there has to be resistance to keep your integrity to a way. Say, you know, I'm trying to keep my integrity, so I don't want to support the WTO or the FTAA
mm-hmm.
because that causes a lot of suffering, you know, a lot of pollution, a lot of things that I don't want to support.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So within the ways of keeping your integrity, you know, and us making our decisions of what we want to support and create and mm-hmm. have open to us what we want to focus on, there has to be resistance.
Well, you know, I don't want to walk that way. I don't want to. I really don't. What kind of resistance am I experiencing? None. I'm just walking my own way. I'm not resisting, you know, I'm just going my own way. So you don't have to go and shop at Walmart. You can allow anybody else to. You see, there's a big crux right here. You've heard of Judgment Day? We're in Judgment Day. But there's two ways we can go through this. We can go and have judgments, or we can be discerning. You know what the difference is between discernment and judgment? If you're judging, it's because you're not able to allow something to go on. If you're using discernment, you can allow but not choose to participate. You can allow that to go on, you just choose not to participate. You don't resist it, you just do something different. That's discernment. Judgment is, you can't do that, you're guilty, and we're going to make you pay for it. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. Nonviolence. Yes, sir.
Oh, I was just thinking about her question, and I think that what she's trying to say is that, are you saying that if you're opposed to something, or you see something going on, that you should just turn the other cheek and allow it and let it be?
Yeah.
Instead of trying to do something about it?
Exactly. Exactly what I'm saying.
Matters, right?
Exactly. Like, you're going to see, we don't have to put up the resistance. There's going to be millions and millions of people willing to lay their lives down on the line to resist what's coming. They'll go ahead and do that. Allow them to do that. They're creating their own experience. You're not responsible to them.
So if you take that to the extreme, it's almost like saying if you see a guy about to fall off a cliff, you shouldn't help him.
Can you? You know, could you? But I mean, I wouldn't say, I mean, no, I don't see that. If a person wants to jump off the cliff, I'll let them jump.
Right.
Yeah. But if they're falling, I think I try to help them.
So where she's talking about there's innocent victims of these words.
No, there's not. There is not an innocent victim anywhere. There are no victims anywhere. There's only people who create themselves as victims. We're only creators. We just only create. And we create those circumstances. There are people in Iraq right now suffering greatly. Why? Because they didn't choose to leave. Or they chose to go there. We didn't. That's the difference. We're human, they're human. But they chose, we didn't. All those people who went in the military thinking they were going to go and defend democracy or stay out of jail. Some of them were doing that. Or get a college pension. You know, that's why they went. They made the choice. And they created that circumstance. It's the same with every one of us everywhere. Sorry, but there are no victims. And there's certainly no innocent victims.
Well, okay, I'm just trying to get to the crux of this philosophy, so that my question after that is, okay, but there's no innocent human victims. So let's take the slaughter that happens to the animals in the ocean, the dolphins, the whales. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're saying that there's no point or reason for resisting that, for going up and trying to stop it from happening?
No.
There's no point in it?
No point at all. First of all, everything, you know, there has been a lot of change in the universe. On this planet, what we experience as the flora and fauna on this planet right now is 1% of what has been here and gone extinct. 99% of everything that's been created on this planet as life form has already gone extinct. So what's new? It's happening faster. That's all.
Does that help? do to solidify what he's saying?
Well, you know, I don't know. You know, I think that, you know, you're right. We only have control over what we do. That's the reality of it, you know. But I think that I learn from people who talk about these things. Mm-hmm. You know, I learn from people that go and do these things and go and try and make an effort to make things right. You know, and I learn in my own life, and I think that that's very valuable. You know, and that the actions of those people trying to keep things healthy really does a lot. It's like throwing a pebble in the pond and that ripple going out and out.
Sharing what you know is your duty. The ancestors, all of the ancestors, have passed forward what they knew, including your DNA. That's a knowledge on this consciousness of stimulus response. Your DNA is a knowledge, a library, a base that was passed forward. What you know is extremely important to pass on, but that doesn't mean you have to resist what other people are doing or participate in. Does that clarify that a little bit more? That's why I'm out here. I mean, if I didn't care, I wouldn't be traipsing all over talking about what I know.
Right.
For not my benefit, so, well, yeah, it's my benefit. I don't want to be alone knowing this. You know, I'd like to have lots of people to share it with and grow from that. Yes?
Yeah, I think an example of what you're trying to share would be like a company that's unethical, that takes advantage of other people, and people get upset about it, but instead of just sitting there and protesting or marching in front of that company's building every day, someone might choose to start a new company that does have ethics, that does care about helping
people. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a trend.
The key is our intention. Our intentions flow from our attention.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it works. So if we focus our attention on the negative, then
you're getting drawn right into it, yeah.
But it goes back to integrity, too, because, like, if you feel really strong about something and in your heart you feel like you should participate in doing something to expose that company, I think you should just go around and do that.
What you know is important to share. What you know. Doing active resistance against things is not going to be healthy at all.
Crazy.
But we don't have to do the resistance. There's lots of people who will do that. Lots. The people who are going to go through this are people who open to allow everything to happen and don't resist anything,
so
including
somebody else.
What happens to everybody else?
At the end of this.
That's a real good question. I'm not completely qualified to answer because I haven't been on the other side of all this. But I do know what I can see around me, and that is that there are, in a plant, for instance, there are certain parts of the plant that go on to propagate more plants, the seeds. And the seeds are pieces of that plant that decided to be seeds. Some of the plant decided to be a leaf, or a root, or a stalk. That's where they felt they fit in. That part of that plant's consciousness. What happens to all those other parts? Like the stalk and the roots and the leaves, it gets to be mulch. It's very useful. It goes in and builds the ground and supports other seeds for other cycles. We're not the first ones to go through this. This is 16 billion years, but time is mental. Doesn't even exist. This 16 billion years, there were other people who went through this whole cycle before us, other consciousness. Now we call them angels, because they're not limited to physical. They already went through this graduation ceremony, and we're coming up on it. Not everybody makes it through it in one time, you know? So
does it, is the difference between becoming cosmic manure, so to speak, and actually actually ascending to the next level, is the difference contained in the retention of a sense of self, a sense of awareness? Because when, energy is recombined into the energy of the universe, then your existence just becomes a memory of the collective consciousness. But if you ascend beyond that, do you maintain your individuality within the creative?
I'm not qualified to answer your question. I would hope so, but
so that's the difference.
Awesome. How much can you allow? Because what it comes down to is how much you can you allow in your own experience, of your experience, you know? Of how much can you allow yourself to create your own experience? Allow. Remember, we're all doing this. Collectively, we're creating the situation, but we are putting our own two cents in. You know, that it's our investment. We're paying attention. That's our investment. And the more you can just allow things to occur and not resist, then the more you can be in your intuition, so the more you can be in that flow. And things just show up the way you intend them. Are there a couple more questions? There was a question.
Well, I personally am psyched about being in this era.
Yeah.
Really psyched. And my question is, the galactic period that we're in now, does that mean we'll see more of our galactic neighbors?
Oh, yeah. By the time we get all the way over here, we'll have a consciousness that spans this entire galaxy.
And since that's a year, I mean, this year.
Well, no, this is 2010.
Oh. Okay.
This actually begins in 2010, then this cycle starts February 10th, 2011, and runs for 260 days.
So we have to wait that long.
Yeah. Do you think you're waiting? Yes, sir.
On what she's saying there, perhaps it would be good to talk about June 1st.
Yeah. Well, June 1st is... Remember this demonstration I did earlier?
This year.
Here's all the power sitting there. Here comes the consciousness of ethics. And it is looming, don't you think?
Yeah.
Looming over power. I mean, they're going, you know. They're not ready to turn around yet. Meanwhile, we have. We can see it. But they can't. But this is June 1st. Boom. June 1st is the absolute middle point of this whole cycle. And it comes down, just like a 2x4, this boom. And then ethics keeps going, just bulldozing all this power over kind of consciousness right out of the way.
To me.
It's going to be traumatic for some people,
yeah,
and exalted for everyone else.
Separation they're talking about.
Boy, the cleaving. Oh, yeah. Yes.
June 1st.
So
June 1st is when that boom happens. Yeah.
There's people that hold to the whole conspiracy theories, New World Order, all this kind of stuff. And I think what I'm seeing happening is that as people become more and more aware of it, it's harder and harder for the people that are trying to pull it off.
Yes.
So is that the ethics is going to crush that whole.
Certainly
thing.
Will. These guys have diabolical plans. I'll just tell you right out, they want 80% of you dead.
Right.
80% is the plan.
Chemtrails,
soy, aspartame, fluoride,
Coke.
Coca-Cola with, you know, and all that. They got a plot and a plan. They want to get rid of 80% of the people. On the other hand, creation has a much grander plan and no big disasters in mind. So these guys have a problem. They got all these plans. Here I am. I've had millions of plans. And about that many of them turned out the way I thought they would. You know? So, what makes these guys any better?
It's that old saying, 99% of everything you were afraid of didn't happen.
Right. Yes. So these guys have horrible, draconian plans. That's all they can see now. They got to cover their tracks, you understand? They got to get rid of everybody who would consider them, you know, consider them out of line. So they're just racing away and don't care if they get caught with all the stuff they're doing.
Yeah, all the
They don't even care. Actually, they kind of want to get caught. Because that'll make people more angry and willing to kill each other.
And they want the prestige of the, everybody knowing that they're the ones that did it.
Yeah, the diabolical beasts. Yeah,
pride,
they want
ego.
That. And so you're going to see stuff that's going to be a test to allow. Really are.
So do you suppose, Student First, it's going to be more of an exposure on the media?
Yeah.
And
it already is.
Jail time, all that.
The media has already changed track. Have you not? You guys watch the news?
I haven't noticed.
Yeah.
Because
I know.
Control the media.
I understand. I'm supposed to watch the news. Yeah, and you don't watch the talking heads. You read the crawl at the bottom. And you will get a wonderful education. It's uplifting. Now that you know this, you kind of know what to look for. And you can see all this stuff popping up. The word ethics. Count how many times the word ethics shows up in one day. I mean, it's just all over the place. With all these investigations and this and that, and the exposures, the whistleblowers that are coming out. Yeah, it's tremendous. Yes, ma'am.
So, not to back you up for a minute.
Yeah.
I know there's lots of opinions about many things, but what's the diabolical plan to do with soy?
Well, soy turns out to be a carcinogen, and the chemicals it produces in your body turn into a brain poison.
Oh, soy does?
Soy.
Wow.
Yeah.
As well.
What's that?
Non-GMO.
Oh, yeah. As organic as it can get. If the plant itself is a brain poison. On our webpage, under the health section, there's 3,500 articles on our webpage, but they're categorized. And under the health section, there's a whole expose on soy and the marketing machine that built it as a health product.
Oh, jeez. What about whey?
Whey seems to be fine. Yeah, it's fine. Yes?
Crop circles. You got any information about
Well,
what was Reagan making them?
Yeah, well,
other dimensions.
I don't know.
What is it?
I don't know exactly, but I know it's a communication, and that's life. I mean, what life does is it communicates. And so some form of life is producing these as a communication. I think it's a ramp up. Sort of like, you know, I was talking about at the very beginning, I was doing the Mayan symbols. Just, I'm sculpting them, you know. And it's like, I'm getting all these messages. Well, crop circles are a great way for an interaction of extraterrestrials. Very ethical. Because nobody has to look. You know, is nobody hurt? The crops actually grow better next season. There's nothing damaged. It's very, very soft touch.
Peaceful geometry. Peaceful,
yeah. Yeah, and what happens when people see them is they get an impression from it. Whatever the impression, it's talking to their intuition.
Yes.
Yes.
So I didn't understand in the beginning when with the words next to the timelines. I have two questions.
Mm-hmm.
Were those words put in there from patterns that people have seen from history, or were those words inscripted on the rock?
From what we've seen in history.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what happens with once this calendar is finished?
Mm-hmm.
I imagine that's the 20-day cycle, and then when that's all done,
mm-hmm.
then what?
Well, what happens? The reason the calendar ends is because more and more happens in every moment than ever before. Faster and faster and faster, more and more happening until finally, absolutely everything which is infinitely possible all happens at the same time. Which is the truth in the first place. It's just that our consciousness hasn't caught up to that yet. That's what this evolution is about. So once we get to that point, there is not one single limit of time and space whatsoever. End of Mayan calendar. End of calendars. And open to your own personal creation of whatever it is that you wish to experience with no limit whatsoever. Nor on anybody else either.
Is that what Red Braden talks about? Zero point?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that's exactly the same term. Zero point on his, he's talking about the electromagnetic shutdown of our system, which means the end of your mind. The mind is electromagnetic. It's not your brain. It's a field, more like your aura, is your mind. It's all the mental pictures that you've got. All those are electromagnetic. When the electromagnetic field falls, the mind is gone. So that's, but that's a step or stage toward having no limit, because all the limits only exist in your mind. So, did that answer that question? Okay. Yes. A couple of more questions, then we'll go have cookies and go to bed.
What was the creation purpose? Do they know what was the creation purpose? Or they just weren't given the calendar?
The Maya that I have met with, in the current living Maya, they didn't have, to me, didn't present a clear idea of that. They knew that they have the pattern, and that the prophecies are important. They knew that they could predict what was going to happen. And that seems to be where their consciousness right now is mostly focused, is on providing the warnings of what might happen, or what is going to happen in the future. That seems to be most of their focus.
Now another question, did they get any type of connection with another civilizations in their time? Based,
I believe so.
Like sharing the inscriptions,
yeah. I think so. In fact, it looks like the Mayan civilization came from the Olmecs, and the Olmecs more than likely came from Atlantis. So, along with the people, the Celts and the Egyptians and the Phoenicians. And there's Phoenician ships that are crashed off of the Florida coast. I mean, I've met people who have dived on them and brought up vessels, you know, urns off the Florida coast. So, yeah, there was lots of enterprise. Mm-hmm.
This is a general question. General question, probably. I would mention it to you, if anybody knows about the super ionized water.
Oh, yeah. The angel water. Angel water from Drumgoole Melchizedek, the Turkish water. I don't know. Has anybody tried that stuff? A few years ago, I had an opportunity to try some.
What'd you think?
I thought it was water.
Is it from a special well? Or?
No, it's a process, supposedly.
Tuning?
Supposedly, it was a process, yeah, in Turkey that they were producing. Ionized water. But there's water everywhere all over the place now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, two more questions and that's it. So, one back here.
I wanted to ask you to speak about what you did during this talk about how all the ships we're going through right now are not really going to affect people that are really close to the land.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's way important. Well, these changes that are going to come. The faster and faster things change, the bigger and bigger the system is you have, the less, the slower it changes. The bigger the system, the slower it changes. Like an aircraft carrier, for instance, like the Enterprise, it takes 3 miles for it to turn around. A speedboat, you know, and you're back the other way. So you look at our society, the momentum, the inertia that we've built up, going in this one direction, and gobbling and mashing things as we go. We have really got a lot going on, and we're way up here above anything natural. And when the support finally comes out, boom, this is going to be like Wiley Coyote over the Grand Canyon. You know, it's a long ways down. On the other hand, the poor Maya, the very poor Maya, that don't have a nickel to rub together. These guys are going to be absolutely fine. Nothing is going to change in their world. They're going to be gathering coconuts, and they're going to be, you know, eating lobsters, and same as they're doing all the way. So, all of a sudden, these people who were trying to help by giving them refrigerators and electric mixers and... all of a sudden, they're going to be just fine. And there's people here in the United States going to be horribly upset that there's no Dream Whip at the store. So, yeah, not a lot to worry about on their behalf. Okay, last question. Both of you. Okay, you first.
Okay.
Tamari and miso?
Right, fermented soy.
Oh, yeah. Bad.
Oh.
We can't even eat the Braggs, you know, Braggs.
Yeah.
Tastes good. Soy.
And you have
before, you know, I'm saying this stuff. Okay, now, I'm not a doctor, but at my website are the clinical reports. So don't take my word for it. Go research for yourself. The knowledge is available.
So what do the Mayan prophecies point to with the future and with the times that they're focusing on, say, at the end of their calendar? What are they saying? What are they prophesying?
Well, that's also on our webpage. Carlos Barrios is the most authoritative, outspoken representative for the Mayan civilization right now. And his letters are there, his speeches. He's also on Earth Changes TV. He's been doing a lot there. And what he's basically saying is, it's over! Your whole life is going to turn upside down, that there's going to be massive earth changes, earthquakes that will wipe out millions of people, tornadoes, typhoons, tsunamis. And it's happened. That the economy is gone. And that's already true. You're all bankrupt.
They're not going to try to take our houses, are they?
The what?
They're not going to try to take our houses, are they?
Well, actually, they are going to try to take your house. They want everybody on the street. They want everybody on the street demonstrating. They want everybody on the street out there demonstrating against their next-door neighbor. Mm-hmm. And against everything. That's the general plan, is to cause absolute chaos. Because they win in that plan. That's not going to happen. There will be plenty of people who go out to resist, and they will, in that, be dealt with very, very harshly by our government. Very harshly. That's why I'm saying don't go demonstrate. You don't need to do that. It's like, you know what tasers are, right?
Yeah.
Tasers? Well, now they have, I mean, for crowd control, they're just itching to use this. They've developed a gas, a plasma gas, that they can spray over a crowd and taser 1,000 people all at once.
That's
technology. So, you know, it's like there's more possible now. Just don't get in the way of all that. You know, just don't participate in that resistance.
I'm just going to say, I understand that after 2012, time and life as we now know it will not exist.
Right.
It doesn't mean that life won't continue, but as we know it will not exist.
The limits are going to come off of our experience. Right now, we're experiencing mostly 5 senses. That's a limit. There's a lot more going on in a whole spectrum of light that we aren't we aren't even seeing, hearing. You know, there's all of that. Whoo, opens wide up. Stargates, other times, other dimensions, all of that open right up. So it's we aren't equipped at this moment to understand where we're actually going. We can just see the direction.
Things are looking up.
Very much. Thank you. Yes. Yes.
This little period of time, about 800 years we're here in our life, mm-hmm. and we happen to be in the next to hit the top of the pyramid.
some of them might be us. There's a whole lot of people on the planet right now. Yeah, some of us. I mean, you know, I think the Atlanteans were really smart guys, right? High tech and somewhat spiritual, or at least intellectually. I think they figured this all out. I think it was the Atlanteans or somebody like that that figured it all out 15,000 years too early. Bummer. So, what they tried to do with all their expertise is move all this forward. Oops. It just didn't work so good. So here we are. Right in the way. I want to thank you all very, very much.